Catholic Answers, to explain and defend the faith, visit us online at catholic.com. No, seriously, you could go to hell. Some Christians think the possibility of going to hell is solely for unbelievers. But it's a possibility for Christians, too, and a sobering one at that. By Carlo Broussard. Some Christians think the possibility of going to hell is solely for unbelievers. They don't believe that a true born-again Christian can lose his salvation, hence the common phrase once saved, always saved. But for other Christians, hell is a stark reality to contend with, even for justified Christians, since they believe that a Christian can lose the gift of salvation initially received. There are several scripture passages they commonly turn to for support, for example, Hebrews 6:4-6, 10, 20:26-20:31 and John 15:2-3. Each of these passages warns Christians about removing themselves from the source of salvation, namely, Jesus, which implies the possibility of damnation even for Christians. So it's more like once saved, better stay saved. There's a way to rebut these biblical passages, but we'll have to see how good it is. To get a good look at it, we can check Protestant theologian Michael Norton in his chapter of the book Four Views on Eternal Security. Basically, the argument goes, scriptural warnings about falling away from the faith refer to those Christians who trust only in their baptism rather than in what baptism signifies, faith in Christ. Such Christians, it's argued, are satisfied with having merely an external relation with Christ. As Norton puts it, these are Christians in the covenant, via baptism, but not personally united by living faith to Jesus Christ. Such Christians would be akin to those Jews who trusted in their natural descent from Abraham as grounds for their membership in the new covenant but were cut off, Romans 11:19-22. Note that the interpretive principle here entails that someone can be in the covenant via baptism, and thus a member of the covenant community, but at the same time not be regenerate, or saved, or justified. Now, there seem to be only two ways that this could be true.
Either a believer was initially regenerated through baptism, became a visible member of the covenant community, and then lost that saving grace. Or b a believer became a visible member of the covenant community through baptism but was never regenerated in the first place, which implies that baptism doesn't make someone regenerate, or, as Norton puts it, united by living faith to Jesus Christ.
Of course it can't be A, because then everyone agrees, and there's no argument. So it has to be B, but B is not true. Baptism does regenerate and unite a person to Christ by living faith. Consider what Paul teaches in Romans 6:3-4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Paul further spells out the effects of this union with Christ through baptism. In verses 6-7, he writes, "We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the sinful body might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For he who has died, the baptismal death, is freed," Greek, didikaiotai, "from sin." What's interesting about this passage, as pointed out in Catholic circles by apologist Jimmy Akin, is that the Greek doesn't say freed from sin. The Greek word translated freed is dikaioo, which means to put into a right relationship, with God, acquit, declare and treat as righteous. This is the same word Paul uses when he speaks of our justification by faith. Since we are justified, Greek, dikaiothens, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. So the phrase freed from sin in Romans 6:7 can literally be translated justified from sin. Modern translations render it as freed from sin because the context is clearly about sanctification. In the verse before Paul speaks of baptismal death, he speaks of those in Christ as having died to sin. As quoted above, Paul speaks of those who have died the death of baptism as no longer enslaved to sin. So, for Paul, justification can include sanctification, which is the interior renewal of the soul whereby the objective guilt of sin is removed. And that justification, or regeneration, takes place in baptism. So the contention that baptism doesn't make us united by living faith to Jesus Christ is false. It has to be. And if so, then we can reject the idea that trusting in baptism is somehow to be separated from trusting in Christ, and doing the former keeps you off the heavenly guest list. There's one more thing to bring up here. The trusting in baptism principle fails to account for the other scripture passages that are often cited for the belief that regenerate believers can lose their salvation, like Galatians 5:4. The text reads, "You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace." Notice that Paul says the Galatians were severed from Christ and that they had fallen away from grace. Both statements imply that the Galatians were saved, or regenerate, since to be in Christ and in grace is to be free from condemnation, Romans 8:1. If you're trying to reject the Catholic position on losing salvation, you can't say here that these Christians merely had an external relationship with Jesus by being members of the Christian community through their baptism. They were in Christ. Why would Paul speak of the Galatians being in Christ if they didn't have faith in him? It's not as if Paul were talking about baptized infants or baptized people who can't use reason. How can someone who doesn't fall into these categories of baptized people be in Christ, and thus be not subject to condemnation, and not have faith? Isn't faith necessary to be free from condemnation, at least for those who can exercise it? It is. Without faith it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. In the end, the interpretive principle embedded in the counter-response above introduces a novel theology that we shouldn't accept as Christians, baptized adults united with Christ but without faith. Paul's teaching on baptism in Romans 6:3-4, 7, and 17-18, and his teaching that believers can be severed from Christ, Galatians 5:4, provide the reason why. The possibility of hell is not a message just for unbelievers. It's a message for Christians as well, and a sobering one at that. Let's not forget it.